Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And this is Jade.
And I'm Anne.
She's here. She's here. For those of you that are new to the show, this is a show for anyone struggling with infertility, miscarriage, or adoption, however God is building your family in unique ways. And for those of you that are longtime listeners, you know that this whole show was birthed in Anne's heart.
Yes, it was.
And came about because of her. If you've listened a couple months ago, you heard a little bit of a life family update of just a tragedy that happened in the Cockrell family. And of course, so many of our listeners have been praying for you. Anne is not fully back, but she wanted to come on today and say a brief hello to our listeners. So,
I just wanted to come on to thank so many people for reaching out and letting us know that they've been praying for us and thinking about us, and to thank AFA for how y'all and how this this ministry has really ministered to my family during this time. Y'all, just the whole organization as a whole, as a family.
We love you.
Just came and stood in my place and just carried us as we went through planning a funeral for a baby and burying a baby, and then, you know, so many things to come after. His due date was just the other day, and so to walk through that, but then to have so many people reach out, even to remember his due date and take him flowers and even a rock. Eliana brought him a rock.
It's a special rock.
But to have so many people do that and remember our sweet John Micah really has meant a lot to me. So I just wanted to come on and say thank you. It will be just a second before, because today it got me emotional anyway. You know, because last time I was here, we were actually asking for prayer for my sweet boy. So
let's be clear. Right now, you are still in the thick of the wilderness. You are clinging to Christ, and it's beautiful to watch. But we, as a family at AFA, have told you, like, take the time to heal and process. And, you know, when you're ready to come and share with our listeners, I know that God has done so much in your life and your heart that you will have to share. But you have to focus on your family and your healing journey. And we love you so much. And our listeners are all praying for you. But I know some of them are just, like, so excited to hear your voice.
Y'all are sweet.
Looking cute for fall.
Y'all are sweet. Well, thank y'all for having me on. And I'm excited to hear the story for today.
We do have guests today.
Yes, we
Jade,
do.
Would you like to introduce
our goodness,
guests?
Yes. This beautiful couple I actually met about 2 years ago. So at AFA, y'all, we always have all kinds of events going on all the time. Yes. And this particular year, we used to do an event called Date Night. Mm-hmm. And it was strictly for couples, married couples, to come together and focus on their marriage. Yeah. And I met this lovely couple. First of all, y'all know I'm not that way. The wife was just gorgeous. She's just beautiful. I have a husband. Yeah. You know what I mean? But she's beautiful. And we ended up just chit-chatting. Her name is Crystal. Her husband's name is Ethan Pipkin. And we chit-chatted, and they shared a little bit of their testimony. And then years later, apparently Ethan was listening to Hannah's Heart and messaged you.
He messaged us. And Crystal told us, hey, I heard about your show because my husband started listening.
Look at that.
So that he would know how to minister to me during our season of infertility. Man. You husbands, listen
I'm
up.
I'm telling you, that's a covering right
listen
there.
Listen
That's
up.
A covering. Yeah,
that is
I love
awesome.
That. So they're here today. Well, they're not in studio, but they're on the phone, and I'm so excited to have them on to share their testimony. Because one thing I love that Hannah Heart does, you and Anne have done this wonderfully, is having couples to come on and share their story. Every story is different, but every story gives God glory. So welcome to the show, Crystal and Ethan Pipkin.
Thank you all so much for having us.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Man, so who was it that, so Ethan, you were the first one to hear Hannah's Heart. How did you hear about Hannah's Heart?
Well, I listen to several different things on AFR going back and forth to work. I have about an hour drive, so I have a lot of time to get to listen to Abe and Exploring the Word and just all the different great programs that are on there. So I heard about it about the time that y'all started the show. Has it been probably a couple of years?
Yeah, we just celebrated 2 years a couple weeks ago.
So from the very beginning, we were going through our infertility, and it seemed like perfect timing to have that come. So yes, ma'am.
Wow. And how long have y'all been married, Ethan and Crystal? I meant to ask that.
I'm just kidding.
Ethan, you funny. How long? Somebody didn't answer. Y'all really don't know.
They're counting their toes out right now.
Are you serious? I thought somebody was playing. Oh, wow. Hey, no judgment.
It was 11 years this past night.
There you go. All right. Count on the woman to answer.
Wonderful. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit, how has your infertility story looked? Like, have you...
When did it start? Yeah, when did you find out?
Yeah. How long were you married and when you started struggling?
Well, we had... we've been married, like I said, 11 years, and we tried birth control for maybe 6 months when we first got married because we were young and, you know, we were financially not stable or in a good place. So we thought that birth control might be for us, which after about 6 months, we realized that it was not an option for us. And I stopped taking any form of birth control. And after a few years of marriage, you start wondering, okay, I haven't been on birth control. We are in our marriage bed, and we had one ectopic pregnancy. So we, you know, early, I think I suspected that we might be in for a long ride when we were ready to start a family. I'd even discussed that with my nurse practitioner each year when I'd go for my women's visit. You know, I would remind her, like, hey, we're married. We're not really trying to start a family, but, I mean, we're doing all the things. So
you're not stopping,
should I be
right?
Worried? Yeah. And she would always assure me, no, you've been pregnant before. We know you can get pregnant. When your time comes, when you're all ready, everything's going to be fine. And we spent kind of years just with this reassurance, you know, like, when we're ready, it's just going to happen.
So
then it didn't. It didn't happen. And, we expected it or suspected that we might have some issues. I think fairly early, we just, I guess, didn't feel like we were ready yet, and that's why it wasn't happening.
So how did you handle the weight? And I love that Ethan, your husband, is like, because I think a lot of times when we hear about infertility and even a show like Hannah's Heart, we're thinking, oh, it's just the women who's dealing with it, the wives. No, fathers do too. Mm-hmm. Husbands do too. So how did y'all handle that waiting period? And how long was that waiting period before you had a baby? Like, how did y'all cling to the Lord?
Well, for me, I think my story is probably more of a cautionary tale, at least in the beginning. I had a lot of anxiety. I was creeping up on 30. And
that's still young, by
you
the way.
You have all these things that you're going to do by 30. You're going to have a house and a career and children. And for me, I didn't have a career. I had a master's degree and was still trying to, I don't know, fight my way to some sort of career path. And we had spent 6 years looking for a home. We had a real estate agent and everything, and nothing ever seemed to just work out for us. And then we couldn't start this family. So I really struggled. This was kind of, this was like the breaking point for me when we started trying to have a family. And I felt like every time I turned around, you know, I had all of these roadblocks. Like, my life was just one big waiting period. And I really got to a point where I felt like maybe God had forgotten me, or not even that. I think more that my past and the things that I had done before I had met Ethan and before I surrendered my life to Christ, that all of those things were constantly going to keep me from God wanting to extend blessings on my life. And
Can I really interject real quick, Crystal? You know, I love that you brought that up. I think sometimes we all have that moment where we're like, is God punishing us? And Kendra, because I feel like you do just a wonderful job when you include the scriptures. God is not that type of God. He does not punish his babies. Because I used to deal with that. For me, it was more of, man, I did everything right. Now, I may have done this and that, but like the type of father we have, he does not punish us that way.
But it is such human nature to think that way. Because when my family, when we had our miscarriage, like one of the first thoughts that popped in my head was, what did I do wrong? Why is God punishing me? And I know that he doesn't work that way, but still the enemy, that's one of his favorite little arrows to throw at your mind. And let me just tell anybody listening, if you think that God doles out babies based on our righteousness, just look at culture see the proof is in the pudding. That's not the way he works, because there are some people living in sin that have lots of babies.
He's a good, faithful, righteous God, but there's absolutely, with everyone's story, there are things that he's growing in you and me and you, Ethan and Crystal, which I'm sure y'all can tell. What are ways that the Lord grew? What did he grow in you in that wait? Because there's beauty in the waiting. Yes, you can get impatient. I know, because I'm still in it myself. But there's beauty in the wait. So what are some things that the Lord has grown in you?
Well, for me, the first year and the first miscarriage, I think, were not the hardest. It all was hard, but I think that was the period of time that I really started to pull back. I started to guard myself from Ethan, from the Lord. I just felt very isolated, and I was constantly telling myself, you know, we're supposed to be fruitful. I'm a Christian woman. Like, this is how, you know, I'm supposed to be fruitful and multiply. I just felt like, I don't know. I just got very hard. And luckily, I'm married to the man that I am, because he never wavered in anything. He has been faithful.
All right, Ethan.
Supportive. He is my rock here on earth. I mean, he is my physical. I run to him and cling to him. And I couldn't have survived this without having him physically here to hold me. But then after that first miscarriage, things started to really turn around. I started to spend more time in scripture, asking God, like, what is it, what areas, what can I do? Or, you know, if I can't do anything, can you just comfort me? Can you give me peace in this waiting season? You know, give me hope that this child that I've lost, or children, I count the ectopic.
That's a life.
As a loss. And, you know, I've had at this point two children that I'm not going to meet this side of heaven. And I had to ask him, you know, please, Lord, just help me find the purpose. Help me. I know this is a test and I'm going to have a testimony.
Come on now,
but
Crystal.
In the meantime, can you please just like speak to my heart?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, after our second miscarriage, we started seeking, infertility treatment. Or not treatments, but we started going to a specialist about an hour and a half from our home. And he ran all these tests, and we had already been on Clomid. We started that pretty early here in Jackson. And so we were sent to the specialist. And basically, he told me after all of these procedures and tests and all the blood work that we had done, that if I wanted to have children, he basically said IVF was going to be our only shot. So that was tough. That was hard for us financially. It was going to be a big undertaking. And we just didn't have peace about it. And again, I had to be like, okay, Lord, you know, if this is true, what, you know, where do we go from here? And I really started praying. You know, we'd had another loss, so we were the ectopic plus two miscarriages since we had started trying. And a couple months after, basically the specialist said, if you come back, you need to come back for IVF, because there's really not a whole lot more I can do for you. We got a phone call from his clinic, and he told us, he was like, hey, well, he had, I guess, the girl that specializes in this part of his office called us and said, hey, we have a study. Y'all would be perfect candidates for this trial. It's going to completely pay for everything. All you have to do is
Tell us that, Grant.
Yeah, wow.
I know.
We'll talk after.
Well, I was really excited. I was on board. I was like, oh, man, where do I sign? Like, send the papers over now.
Right.
She had called. It was early in the week, like Monday or Tuesday, and they had to know by the end of the week whether or not we were going to move forward with this study because they were getting ready to start it. And so I went home that night just super excited. I was like, Ethan, I got a phone call today at work. And I was telling him all about it. And he was like, wait a minute. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Come on, Ethan.
You can chime in any time. But he had a lot of concerns. So he said, well, let's sit down. Let's get on Google. Let's just look at some Christian commentary and see if there's anything that we need to consider. And so we did. And let me go ahead and preface this by I don't think there's anything wrong with IVF if you do it in a way that values human life.
Thank you, Crystal.
Amen.
Yep.
By that, I mean, if you go forward with IVF, you will have viable embryos, more than likely.
Yep.
You could have one embryo, or you could have, in my case, he was thinking I would probably end up with 10 to 12.
Wow.
My goodness.
Because I had such a high egg count.
Wow.
I've been on some medicine like Clomid. I don't know if that had anything to do with some of it. I really don't know. He never said why. He just said I had a really high egg count, and he would not be surprised if I had 10 to 12 viable embryos by the time, I think, what is it, a third of them or something, or maybe around that are usually viable.
Yeah.
You need to be responsible with the embryos, and then you have some options. So once you get your viable embryos, you can continue to go back and have as many babies that stick, whether that's 10 or 2 or 1. You can put them up for adoption. You can pay a storage fee. But at some point, you're going to have to figure out what to do with them.
Right.
Or you could have them destroyed, which, again, we value life. Yeah. And at that point, that's not an option. These babies have DNA. They have makeup. You can find out all kinds of stuff about these embryos, from sex to genetic information. We had these four topics to talk to the doctor about. And so, again, I asked him how many embryos did he think we might end up with. He said 10 to 12, which I love babies, but 10 to 12 would be a lot. a whole lot. And since the study was for scientific research, we couldn't manipulate it in any way. So any eggs that were harvested had to have a chance at fertilization.
Wow.
So that was another question that we asked him. And then his clinic would not take on the liability to put stipulations for adoption, which honestly neither one of us were super comfortable with.
Sure.
But we wanted all the information. And so we couldn't say, like, hey, if we have embryos that we don't use, we would put them up for adoption. But it'd have to be a, heterosexual Christian couple.
Right.
There was none of that.
Crystal, I'm going to cut in real quick. I'm so sorry, because I want to get your covering in. I want to hear from him. Ethan, you were just bragging about your man, girl. In what ways, Ethan, in this journey, was the Lord speaking in your heart in terms of protecting your wife? And, I'm sure you probably were anxious, too, to have a child.
How did you have the guts to go against what, because she was like, I'm ready. Yeah. And how did you have the guts to put on the brakes?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I am not a very good speaker. So it's very hard for me to get what I'm feeling or thinking out, but I'll try the best I can.
You're doing great, brother.
I just knew that I loved her. I wanted to do whatever I could to try to help her during this difficult time. And like I say, I'm not the best communicator. So getting, going back to when I started listening to Hannah's Heart, I was just trying to get a woman's perspective and try to understand some of the feelings that that a woman might be feeling, so that I could maybe say or do something that would help her in a way that I wasn't doing at that time. Because like she said, there were times when she was kind of pulling away, and I could feel that, and I could see her pulling away from the Lord, and I didn't want that, but I didn't know exactly what to do. And like I say, just being able to try to communicate my love in a way that was meaningful to her is what I was after. So
I love that.
And come to find out, the main thing that she needed was just for me to be there. It wasn't so much of me saying anything, but you know, after having some of the trouble that we did, I can remember coming home and just laying in bed with her and just holding her for hours and hours, and that's what she needed. And it wasn't me trying to be strong and saying, you know, everything's going to be okay, and, you know, God loves you, I love you. That wasn't what she needed at the time. She just wanted me to hold her.
Yes.
And so, anyway, going back to what Ms. Kendra asked there about how did I put my foot down, I wanted to make sure that whatever we do was going to be good according to Scripture.
Yes.
And trying to figure out what God's will was for us. And I had questions about some of the things that Crystal talked about just a second ago, what would happen with the babies that, you know, were harvested and things like that. And I was not comfortable, with that situation. And plus, I still had faith that God was going to give us a baby of our own.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the doctors didn't know exactly what was going on, it doesn't mean that God don't know what's going on. Even if something was terrible enough that the doctor couldn't fix it, I knew that God could still do it.
Yeah.
So, I just didn't feel like that was the right option at the time. And, I'm so glad that we were able to come to the conclusion that we did. Crystal's got an awesome kind of second part of that story.
Come on, Crystal, tell us.
Yeah, tell us. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're running a little bit out of time, y'all. I'm so sorry. They need to make this an hour show.
I know.
Somebody need to talk to leadership. But if you could, so what ended up, what did y'all, how did y'all end up having your babies? What was the direction that you took?
Well, to wrap up the IVF story, so I had went to bed that night and we were at odds because I was still convinced that we had to have IVF or we were never going to have a family. And, that night I had a dream and it was on repeat. I was in the surgical room and every time they would wheel me into the surgical room, there was this just like booming voice that just said no, just the simple two-letter word, no.
The Holy Ghost.
And this was all night, y'all. This was every time I would close my eyes, it would wake me up and I would just, it was just on repeat.
Wow.
And the next morning, Ethan could feel me, I guess, kind of shuffling in bed. You usually know when your husband is awake, and they know when you're awake. And I felt his arm wrap around me, and he said, Crystal, whatever you decide, I'm going to support you. And I said, no, that's all I could speak. And I just started crying. He had no idea what was going on in my head. But once I collected myself, I told him, I was like, look, this dream, like it was, there was so much authority and finality in that no, that I cannot ignore. I don't know why, but we're not supposed to do this.
Wow.
And fast forward, we had one more miscarriage and I had the lady that we saw, my normal practitioner was on vacation with her daughters for spring break. And we had gone into the ultrasound room, and I just knew something wasn't right. So they put us in the waiting room until the practitioner comes to get you to talk about your ultrasound. And I was just squalling, and he was like, what is wrong with you? And I said, something's not right. This baby's not going to be okay. And he was like, okay, you know, like, we haven't even talked to the doctor yet. So we went back there, and sure enough, the baby that had not developed, it wasn't hitting any of the markers that it needed to for the week that we were in.
Yeah.
So she told us to come back that next week and she would check us again, but she felt like this wasn't going to be a viable pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in the waiting room that second time we went, and I was just sitting there and I kept, this name Jessa was just on my heart. Mm-hmm. So when I looked it up, it means God sees. And they took us back and, you know, give us that final, like, this isn't going to happen. I'm sorry. But she asked me in that moment, she said, go home, have another cycle, come back. I'm going to figure out what is wrong wow. with you. And she did. She called. We went back, and she called me after that first round of labs and said, you have what's called an NTHFR mutation. Hmm. We're going to put you on a prescription strength folic acid, and you should be good to go. And what? Here we are with two beautiful, healthy babies.
Girl, what?
And, oh, my looking goodness. Looking back, had we have moved forward
yeah.
with the IVF treatment, we could have gotten pregnant a million times, but without that folic acid man. In my system, we would have never had a full-time.
Crystal, I am so sorry. I love this story. Yeah. Y'all, we got to cut it off. We're coming to an end. Thank y'all so much for mm-hmm. tuning into the show. Look, you know, one thing about the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the mm-hmm. Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him yeah. and he'll direct your path. And that's exactly what happened. I hope you all were encouraged with today's episode. Until next time, see you later.
Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart.